We're going.
Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon.
We're doing it live.
Kyle Rush, not quite live. Recording live. Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. And we're going to talk. We got great news. Tommy Tuberville is going to save college football.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I kid you not, I do have a real job in the radio business and got the press release from him yesterday.
Yeah.
You're going to love the headline of the press release that came from him.
Oh, please tell me.
Tuberville introduces legislation to save college sports.
Tommy T, baby. He's going to save the day.
When you said, you know, when you texted me, you said, let's talk Coach Tuberville and how he's going to save college football. And I was like, you have no idea that you literally just wrote the headline for their press release.
I mean, it's so natural. It's just easy. It kind of flows off the tongue. But no, if you're
they
not
added
sure.
A caveat to theirs too. It said also in rein in NIL.
There you go. I don't know about that. But anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, yesterday he introduced a bill from the Senate. Essentially to quote unquote save college football. What's the name of it? Like sometimes they have like cool names.
Yeah, they're real big. A lot of people don't know this in politics, they're real big on acronyms.
Yeah.
He's just called it the Student Athlete Act.
That's lame, Tommy. Get a rider.
Yeah, they didn't because they usually will come up with like it's the SOAP Act, and it'll stand for something like
Yeah. Come on.
Opposing man. Athletic.
I wouldn't vote for it just because of that. Just lack of creativity on the name.
They didn't do a fancy acronym for it because they are. Exactly. They're big, especially in the state of Alabama, they're really big on acronyms for bills.
What do they call it again?
The Student-Athlete Act. So the SAA is what it is.
Lame. All right. So here's what it is. And it's really – I like bills – in general that are like short and sweet, like you don't have to, there's not a whole lot of fluff and whatnot. It's pretty much two big things. It's going to introduce five to play five, which is great. That means essentially eliminates the red shirt year, but you got 5 years and you play five. So let's talk about that one.
Okay.
On its face first. Thoughts on that? We're past the COVID year now. And we're going to essentially get out of all these medical waivers, even though Auburn just kind of benefited from one yesterday with the announcement of, you know, Chris Murray's return in that edge room. But no longer, if this thing goes through, you got 5 years from the time you graduate high school. It's not like a rolling 5 years. It's not like I can use two here, go here, come back in 5 years and use my final three. It's five consecutive years. Thoughts there.
Well, let me start out by his quote is from his release that came out yesterday. Quote, college athletics used to be about education. Now it's sadly about making money. This is where the 5 years thing comes in too. He says, we can't be having 25-year-old students who graduated 3 years ago still competing in the NCAA. With my bill, student athlete gets the 5 years to get their education, compete, and move on. We also have to make sure students are getting a good education, which won't happen if they're transferring every year. I'm all for student athletes making money, but we have to create some national guidelines as the current system is broken. Look forward to working with my colleagues on this common sense bill to get it across the finish line.
You throw that one in there. I mean, throw common sense in there and it just – It sells itself.
It does.
No, nobody has common sense anymore. But five to play five. Talk to it.
I'm not against that. I'm not opposed to it because part of that is, as you and I have discussed, this whole thing we're doing now where you get four games to play, that does away. You get 5 years, period. Like, there's no red shirt. There's no four-game play them at the end of the year or play them against non competition really or something like that to get them some experience. You get your 5 years. And now I know that what I foresee happening with this though, Kyle, is some kid that falls on a hard time and has a nagging injury. And they're going to be like, no, we need a 6 year because he literally tore his ACL. Rehab didn't go well. So he had to sit out the next year too. So there's going to be some, I think, amendments if something like this goes through. that you're still going to have the lawyers get involved because they're going to prove to a judge that somebody was done wrong and it's unfortunate their circumstances.
Money thing is what just makes this so hard.
It's going to make it super hard.
And antitrust and all that stuff, which we'll talk about at the end.
But now with the 5 years, that's one thing you look at. Hey, I'm guaranteed 5 years of NIL payments because, if you're wanting to stick it out, because if you're just going to do your 4 years and even though you redshirt, some guys may not be getting as much money if they're just sitting there doing nothing. So now you're going to have 5 years of guaranteed NIL money and listen, if I came to you when you got ready to go to college and you just being not necessarily a student athlete, just a student saying, hey, I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to get paid for 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you jump all over it. So
does it have any provisions in there for junior college or like D2 or like essentially non-scholarship level schools? Like, does it have anything in there for that? Do they count in that window, or did you see anything?
No, because I even clicked because they got a little summary of it that you can click on. So that way you don't have to read through all the, like you said, crap that is in there. And it doesn't, because it said clarifying eligibility rules. And it basically just says that it's 5 consecutive years to compete. So I'm assuming that he's lumping in junior college and that kind of stuff in that 5 years.
Because, that's the only thing I disagree with.
And I don't know if he is. That's the way it reads.
If that's the case, that would be the only objection I really have to the 5 years, because, and it's because of the money thing, the antitrust and all that stuff, because you ain't making no money in junior college.
No,
you're not going to make any money on the D2 level. So if you're in that 5 year window and it takes you like 2 or 3 years to kind of work your way up, I don't know, man. It's just weird for me to think, like, to me, junior college now is like almost just an extension of high school. It's like the 13th and 14th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm crazy and maybe I'm in the minority on that one, but well, I don't know. JUCO, I could get on board. I could get on board if they said, no, we won't do the D2 thing or whatever, but we'll give you back your JUCO years. Like, we'll say, so in other words, if you go to school at JUCO for 2 years, like, there's a lot of dudes that are late bloomers. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of dudes that shoot up after their senior year. Well, not with like steroids, but like shoot up in growth, maybe both. I don't know. On the JUCO level, and then they're physically ready later. So that would be the only, I don't think JUCO should count. Other than I could get on board with the other stuff.
And I'm this is above my pay grade, because I don't know if JUCOs are a part of the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA. I don't know if they are. I don't think
NJCAA. There's an NJCAA, so I'm sure that's like an offshoot.
So if it's not, because he said this, it says in the bill, because I'm kind of skimming through it while you're talking, even though it's long, and it said that this would only affect people in the NCAA. So I don't, and it does not mention the junior in here whatsoever. And
that's a pretty big one, though.
And it's called,
need to address that one.
And it's called varsity, they're considered varsity intercollegiate athletic programs. So is JUCO not considered a varsity intercollegiate athletic program?
I don't know. I would be curious about that, because
that would be the questions that probably need to be brought up in this.
What do you think about that?
I see both sides, because I think some collegiate coaches would say, well, they weren't good enough to play D1, so that's why they had to go to junior college. But I'm with you in the late bloomer type deal. I mean,
there's grade stuff. Like, I mean, there's stuff like you don't qualify, so you got to go work on. There's all kind of situations where you may have to go to JUCO, and then like it's not like JUCO to college. You're just ready when you get there, so then you don't even really get to take full advantage of your time from JUCO to college, because there's at least a one and a half year ramp up period. Then you only have like another year and a half to year to sort of make your hay. make your money. So I don't know. That's where I come from. On that.
Yeah, I'm with you because you can't make any. Like I know that, as I just said, the pitch is, hey, you get 5 years to make money. But if you got, if your grades aren't where they need to be, or you don't, you're not developed yet. I mean, look at, you know, athletes that have come out that went to back when before Troy was Division I, like they would go to Troy and then transfer to Auburn or Alabama later because they came out of high school weighing 205, and after their freshman year, they were 245.
Yeah.
Linebacker.
And two more inches kind of thing.
Yeah. And so
What's the kid that went to Troy from Auburn High?
Ware. Yeah.
DeMarcus Ware. He was like 6'2", 190.
Yes.
And then he goes to Troy, and after his freshman year, he's like 6'4", or 6'5", like 245, and then became, you know, those type situations is what I'm talking about. Like, don't count that against them, you know?
By the way, a side note on that. Can you imagine he and OCU Manuro were the two defensive ends at Troy at that time? Both of them going to be Hall of Famers, all pros.
It's pretty crazy to think about.
And both of them, like, that's how they got recruited, though. He was undersized, and Umanura was like a soccer player who never really played football. So they had to go to Troy instead of going to a bigger school, and then they ended up, you know, doing fairly well in the NFL, except for Umanura. 4th of July blowing half his hand off. So whatever.
That was a different Giants guy. that was Pierre Paul.
That's
that was
right. Pierre. That's right. So
all right. So I think we're for the most part in agreement there. The second part of it is the 1 year transfer rule. So you get one free year transfer, which was kind of the initial rule, and then you'd have to sit out a year if you transferred the second time. I don't know 100% how I feel about this. A lot of times the way I feel is like how much of a chance I think it has to work, like work or legislate or enforce, which again, we're going to talk about that at the end. But on the surface, in a vacuum, I think I'm okay with this. I think I'm okay with the one-time transfer. The only argument I would have is, like, I'm going to just give you an example. Let's say, think of, like, the worst college out there. What's the worst college, like, worst football program out there that you can think of? Buffalo. Let's just go with Buffalo. Okay. I don't know why I landed on Buffalo. But let's just say you're a freshman quarterback and you're good. And you get on the field at Buffalo and – you're still so young and the conference is so weak. It's like, man, the Texas may not offer me, but I may get an offer from, like, let's just say, gosh, I don't want to offend anybody. Let's say Syracuse. How about that? Let's say Syracuse, because that's close. Syracuse sees me and I go to Syracuse and I light it up again my sophomore year. And now Texas and USC and Auburn and Alabama and Florida State and Miami, all these guys are going to be throwing bags with, like, millions of dollars. Drew Mestenmaker may be a good comparison. He went from North Texas to Oklahoma State. Now, he followed his coach, so this may not be on the table, but that was a true freshman, I believe, a redshirt freshman.
Yep.
He's going to be a sophomore. What if he lights it up at Oklahoma State, but he's not quite there as far as, like, on draft projections? And he's labeled like a system quarterback, but all these big schools want him. And then he could make even more money going, like I said, to USC or going to Texas or going to one of those schools.
We still can. He's just got to sit out of here.
Yeah, but that ain't going to work.
I totally get that.
You know, and that ain't going to work.
Here's my issue with it is I think I'm okay because I think that those are – I think that type
of – How about two times?
I think what you're talking about is a unique situation. I don't think that's, like, rampant in sport. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think that that's now, I'm okay with the way he's got it, with the one free transfer and then the sit-out-a-year transfer. I want a caveat added.
Okay.
If your coach is fired or leaves for another job, another free one is on the board.
I think that's probably – surely that's already baked in, right?
Because if I transferred, if I followed Hugh Freeze here, which nobody did, but if I followed Hugh Freeze here, and you know, and so there's my one transfer. I burned it. So now if I go anywhere else, I got to sit out a year. Hugh Freeze gets canned. I want another free transfer.
Or he takes another job somewhere
else. Or if he takes another job. Or, yeah, if he takes another job. So I think that caveat needs to be in there instead of it just be a black and white, hey, you get your one freebie. And then if your coach gets fired, sucks for you. You got to sit out a year if you decide to leave the program.
So what do you think about just saying – what do you think about just saying two transfers? I mean, two transfers in 5 years.
So two freebies? What yeah. does that mean? And two freebies, like, stop? There is no third with sit no out third. A year? You just get two?
Because the scenario I created is about as – I mean, that's like the most authentic reason – to need two transfers. You know what I mean? Like that would be the most authentic reason. Anything outside of that, it feels like you're just chasing bags. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm going to see who needs the, I'm going to try to create leverage with the, you know, the portal and then go see what's out there and, you know, kind of shop myself. Whereas I think two would be pretty much two in 5 years nowadays ain't that bad.
No, it's not. Think about this. In 2 and 5 years, I mean, that's 2.5 years at one school. If you realize it's not working out, after you go through spring, you got another 2.5 to go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
And also, it would give you a chance to, like, transfer down.
Yeah.
And then transfer back up. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm – let's say I sign with Alabama, I'm kind of buried in the depth chart, so I transfer down to Troy, ball out, because I got a shot, and now I can go back up. You know what I mean? I can go back up again. I say two. I think two would be – that's my take.
I'm good with that because of that scenario that you just talked about, because we've seen it. I mean, you and I have been advocates for it because we've said, get your butt on the field.
Get on the field.
If you got to go to Fresno State and play big sky football against people, you go do it. You go light it up. 3,000, 4,000 yards as a quarterback, and then go to USC or, you know, Ohio State or Auburn or Alabama or Georgia. But I totally get – because, you know, that kid may have gone to USC and, like you just said, got buried on the depth chart, not necessarily stepped down, but at least it's not major – it's not a P4. So, you know, you go to – that kid goes from there down to Fresno State and, you know, still staying in the state of California, but then lights it up. And then these coaches realize, crap, you know, we had a guy sitting fourth on the depth chart that's out here throwing for 4,000 yards at Fresno State. So then he goes to Oregon and stays on the West Coast, but that gives him his two freebies.
Yeah.
Now, then he's stuck. He better like Oregon because he's going to be there. But I think two is because of that scenario, Kyle, because of us standing by our word of saying, hey, get your butt on the field. Then, I think it needs to be two because you get somewhere, they've recruited you. They've told you you're going to be playing, but then you get there and you know, a kid from Elba is not, the game is much faster at Auburn than it was at Elba.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he may get on the field somewhere, but then come back to Auburn or something. And so it catches up. So I'm totally okay with, I'm good with two.
I still think you got to have the fired coaches thing in there though, no matter what.
I think the fired coach, well, fired or leave, because
I think that's, even if you could, have a ton of bad luck, a bad run of picking places and guys getting fired. Hell, you could be the reason they're getting fired. But anyway, I still think you got to have that in there. So it's not a hard two. You know what I mean? Like it's two without extenuating circumstances of coaching issues. And it's only the head coach. I don't care if your offensive coordinator leaves, your position coach, none of that. If the head coach leaves, that we can have or gets fired, we can have those conversations. But other than that, it's a hard two. And I would be ecstatic with that. I would say we're good. You're golden.
Cause let's just call coaches what they are. They're trying to improve their career just as the kids are.
Sure.
And a prime example is we're talking basically right now, you and I are in terms of football, but our favorite guy down at South Florida. I sent you that article where he wanted to fight anybody that came to look at any of his players.
Yeah.
As soon as he got eliminated from the NCAA tournament, he took the next best thing and went to running. So he didn't care about his players, or he would have stayed there.
He may, though. He may take them with him.
He may take some of them with him. I doubt he takes all of them. But then again, is he going to fight himself? Because he's at another school taking players from South Florida.
That's a good point.
So fired or leaves, because, I mean, there are certain positions. Like in basketball right now, Kyle, I'm sure they're lined up. Hey, people can say what they want about it not being what it used to be. But, you know, Hubert Davis being canned from North Carolina, there's some teams that are playing in the NCAA tournament right now that I promise you have been contacted by North Carolina to see if there's any interest in them, you know, taking over that position. So here they are playing in a Sweet 16 with their coach thinking everything's hunky-dory. We're in the Sweet 16, and their coach may be at North Carolina next year. Yep. So, take another job or fired, I think needs to be a caveat. But I'm still good with the two freebies, and that's it. Two freebies along with termination or job change.
There you go. I think that's fair too. All right, now, is Congress the way to go? Is the Senate, is that the way to really fix it?
No.
I don't think so either. I think it's a complete waste of time.
I don't like
it. It'll work until, which it will immediately be challenged in court.
Yeah.
And immediately go to the Supreme Court. And then, unfortunately, like, now that they make money, it does violate antitrust laws. It just does. It's arbitrary. It's arbitrary rules that are keeping individuals from being able to maximize their potential. And it's unfortunately, because we've opened Pandora's box, it's unfair. The only way this is ever going to be fixed, and I hate to bang on Tommy T because he's trying hard, but like, we still got the college thing in there. We're still playing school.
Yeah.
We're still pretending that this is school. And until we say this is not school, this is a professional league now, we need to have a players association. We need to have collective bargaining with enforceable rules.
Yeah.
Like, and then nobody sues the NFL. Like, you don't, like, the NFL doesn't get sued when a contract or trade thing gets vetoed or whatever. Yeah. The NBA had a big one. Remember the NBA? There was this big trade with the Lakers, and they just like, it's not fair. Like, it violates this, so no, you can't do it. They didn't sue and then take it to the Supreme Court and then, you know, get it overturned and all that stuff. No, they have a framework in which they abide by, so everybody can kind of benefit. Like, until we do that, none of this really matters. This conversation we just had, we're 23 minutes into this. This conversation we had literally does not matter until that happens. And then if that happens, these rules would work great. I would say this needs to be voted on within that framework.
So this is continuing with our conversation of fixing college football.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I would do is you take the four P4 chairmen, you know, whatever they're called in the various conferences, the Sankey of every conference. You develop a committee that is effective, that can implement this stuff. And the reason being is because the NCAA is ineffective right now. And it's going to be ineffective if you turn it over to the government. It's going to be just as effective as the NCAA is because of what you just said. They're going to sue and it's going to go to the Supreme Court. They're going to rule on behalf of the kid because they want a kid's future.
They're going to win every time.
Every time. They're not going to rule against the kid's future. They're not. Like, if they do, it's because the kid's probably doing something like selling 2 pounds of weed on the side. 2.1. Then they may rule against them. But for the most part, they're not going to rule against. So you've got to have what the NCAA was initially started for. And I'd say have a football version, have a basketball version and a baseball version or whatever it may be, or, you know, whether you want to call it a fall, winter and spring sport version is probably what they could probably do. So that way it's handled individually within that season. But they're going to have to come up with something rule-wise that is enforceable. Now, whether that be, you talked about collective bargaining agreement, player association. I mean, and you mentioned, you know, the NFL, NBA. The one reason they can do that is because that's their job, is to, those jobs of those leagues are to create parity, where the worst team can beat the best team on any given day. And in college,
fairness.
It is. It's fairness. And in college, that's just not going to happen. Troy is not going to be able to beat Alabama in football on any given day. That's not, that is out the window. But they do need to create a sense of fairness, let's just say at the P4 level. So there, I think there's
different. Yeah, you need a super league of 64 teams.
Yes.
You need four divisions, 16 teams in each division, and everybody that becomes a member of that association. And when they become a member of that association, if you choose to go to one of the schools in the Super League, you are agreeing to this set of rules.
Right.
And you're joining this player association. And this is, and you know, you do it just like the NFL. You have a representative, he negotiates on behalf of the players, and they decide what the framework is, and you just go from there.
Yep.
And it seems pretty, seems pretty easy. But we just can't give up the pretense or the fakeness of we're still playing school. Sankey's close.
He is.
Sankey's close to pulling the plug. I think he's there. I think he's there. I think he's probably working behind the scenes to like figure out the exit.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that plays out. But good stuff, man. Again, love the effort there, Tommy T. I just don't see it.
Maybe that's why he's doing it, because he's kind of coming along late with it. So it not necessarily like it's going to get pushed through right away. Maybe he's throwing the ideas out there to, I mean, that's typical politics for them to throw a bill out there for everybody to look at, read over, do like you and I just did, come back and go, well, you didn't address junior college here. You didn't address this. So, because when I skimmed through that bill just a minute ago, none of that stuff is, while you were talking, I was kind of scrolling through it. None of that stuff is addressed. So there's got to be some stuff added to it if this is going to go through. But I still maintain, don't get the government involved.
Like, yeah.
Develop your own committee, because the thing is, and he has said this, if you go down the road, he was quoted as saying this, I'm paraphrasing, but if you go down the road of getting the government involved, they will always be involved. They're not going to relinquish their power 10 years down the road and go, hey, we got it fixed, we're going to turn it back over to you. That's not going to happen. So don't let them get started. And maybe Sankey's the guy that can do it. Maybe he's the guy that can put together one of these super committees that handles all this stuff.
He loves English Premier League. So do you know how the English Premier League works?
I have no earthly idea.
It's kind of scary. I know, but he loves that league, and he always talks about, there's a book called The Club, and he always talks about that. It's referring to the English Premier League, but this is wild. So you know the four super team league that I'm talking about, the four league super team. Well, they kind of have that. Mm-hmm. And for those, I'm very casual on this. I just kind of know enough to be dangerous. But this is basically right. So instead of those four leagues all playing each other, basically what it is like it's a relegation thing. So when instead of you got 16 teams in four leagues that are on equal grounds, you basically have like four different leagues. And the bottom two each year and the top two trade places.
Okay.
So you can be in that top league in the English Premier League and you're playing for the championship. If you're terrible, they relegate you to that second league. And then if you're terrible there, they relegate you to the third league. So you kind of have to work your way up. I don't see that ever working, but I don't know. That might
you
be
like
something.
You like the process. You like the idea of it. At least being a starting point to think about doing something like that, though.
No, I would hate relegation. That would be absolutely terrifying. I'm just saying, I know he likes it. I don't know if that would be the direction he would go, but he is talking about other leagues a lot, is what I'm saying. Like, he's ready to make that move.
Mm.
So, like, I think it'll be soon. We'll see. Good stuff, Ben. Thanks, man. We'll be back again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.